It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
And here we are, Sunday afternoon this time, 2 o'clock on Sunday on Father's Day, mixing it up again with the schedule this week because it's Hot Podcaster Summer and all rules are off.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
Brian, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. It's Father's Day, and I'd like to give a shout out to all the men, all of the single mothers, all of the transgendered who have taken on the responsibility of raising somebody else. I will not do that. It's not for me. But those people that did have enabled this society to continue. Happy Father's Day to everyone that wants to claim it.
All right, let's have a toast out there then for all the dads. It's drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Pus. Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, what are you bringing to the table this Father's Day to drink?
A shower beer.
Ooh, literally.
You know, I decided that today, since we are recording this afternoon, I did not want something too heavy. I didn't want to feel weighted down. So I went for a Czech Pilsner coming out of Virginia. This is from Champion Brewing. You're looking at their shower beer coming in at 4.2 ABV. It's balanced. It's biscuity, toasty, and crisp. Beer Connoisseur gave it a 94, but I would just say it's perfect for any relaxing occasion. It's a bohemian pilsner that sings with fresh, clean maltiness and a spicy flavor with aromatic contributions.
Aromatic, not aromatic?
I was close, Ron.
Yes. How is it?
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. It feels drier than what I was expecting, but it's got some flavor to it.
All right. This week, Brian, I wanted to keep it low alcohol as well, since it is only 2 o'clock, got the rest of the day to go. I went with one that's kind of a go-to for me. It is Dogfish Head Slightly Mighty Local IPA, just 95 calories, a 3.6 carbs, flavored with monk fruit for the sweetness with a nice hop finish.
Mm. Take a sip.
It's a great beer. Have you ever had this?
I've never had that.
I would highly recommend it. It is a great, very crushable summer beer.
Crushable?
Mm-hmm.
We're going with crushable?
We're going with crushable on that one.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
All right, let's keep things rolling along on this Sunday afternoon with This Week in Racism.
This week in
racism.
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 So we set a record last week for Ron and Brian with 13 minutes and 8 seconds of racism. Thankfully, not as much this week, although I'm sure it's still going to take a few days for all of the Juneteenth racism stories to really hit the national media. But this is what we have this week. Speaking of Juneteenth, obviously Joe Biden signing into law Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday. Quiz for you, Brian. The only state in the country that does not officially recognize Juneteenth as a holiday as of right now?
Arizona.
You would think, it's a good guess, but South Dakota, the only state that does not have a law in the books officially recognizing Juneteenth as a holiday. They apparently are working on that right now, and will be introducing legislation upcoming in the coming weeks.
Okay, meaning they have a moral issue with it, or they're just late to the party?
Just late to the party, basically.
All righty.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who voted against making Juneteenth a holiday in 2020 and dropped his objection to it this year while wondering why giving federal employees the day off with pay to celebrate the end of slavery was necessary, decided to attend a local Juneteenth festival and was surprised when he was booed out of the event by the majority of attendees. And then the NHL's San Jose Sharks managed to rise to the top of tone-deaf corporate tweets about Juneteenth by posting a picture on Twitter of the shark from their logo biting through the chains shackled around a pair of black wrists. The Sharks would eventually apologize for the tweet after being dragged across the internet and back. We have a couple stories here with news channel racism. Newsmax's Greg Kelly came under fire this week due to his tweets talking about how white people leading the military and government made him more comfortable. Kelly wrote that knowing the Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, was white when he was a U.S. Marine pilot, quote, made a big difference with morale. In another tweet, he said knowing that then President Bill Clinton was a Caucasian male made it all worthwhile. Kelly claims the tweets were sarcastic. Newsmax is currently investigating the situation.
I used to watch Greg Kelly on the news every morning. He used to be on Channel 5, which was Fox News, the local Fox channel here in New York. He did the morning news. He was on, I think, from like 7 to 9 or whatnot. Was always a little wacky, but not overtly political in any way, shape, or form. It feels like he got pushed through the grinder, and this is the only job he's taken. And it seems he's leaned into the Newsmax racism.
Just a skosh, to say the least. Anyway, second story.
So disappointing in him.
Under news channel racism, Tucker Carlson, the L.L. Bean catalog that became a real live boy, had social scientist Charles Murray on Tucker Carlson Today. Murray's theory is that it isn't racism, redlining, or lack of educational resources that keep black people underemployed, paid less for doing the same jobs as white people, and generally finding it harder to move up the corporate ladder. It's that black people overall have lower IQs than whites. This theory has been disproved by a variety of different studies, but Tucker didn't challenge Murray on any of his statements. And then in our usual white people are horrible section, a video of a white female customer at a Ross clothing store going off on a racist tirade at a black female employee has gone viral on TikTok. The video shows the store manager escorting the woman out of the store while the woman yells at her, saying things like, "Fuck you, you fucking black bitch," and "You're a motherfucking bitch is what you are." When outside of the store, the woman says, "Go sit on your porch like a fucking monkey, you whore." The woman on the video has yet to be identified. And then Honolulu City Councilman and comedian Augie Tulba went viral this week when a video of him doing a comedy performance in blackface 10 years ago was posted online. The person who outed the video? Augie Tulba himself, who posted it on his Instagram with the comment, quote, "We laughed so hard filming this segment, hashtag fun times." Many politicians and civic leaders are asking for him to apologize and renounce his previous behavior. And then, of course, we have to have a don't trust the police section. A Warren, Michigan police officer is under investigation for Facebook posts he made where he said that black people are, quote, "the biggest racist people in the world. Every black child's ambition is to either be a rapper or a basketball player or a drug dealer. That black fathers aren't there for their children," and topped it all off with, "Glad I wasn't born black. I would kill myself." The officer has not yet been identified by the media or the Warren Police Department. And then Jamal Sutherland is a black man who died earlier this year in a South Carolina jail cell after officers pepper sprayed and tased him. While the cause of death was initially ruled as undetermined, a coroner has amended Sutherland's death certificate to indicate that his death was a homicide. A sergeant and detention deputy involved in the incident were fired last month, and the Charleston County Council voted unanimously to settle with Sutherland's family for $10 million. So far, no criminal charges have been brought against the sheriff's officials involved in Sutherland's death. And we've got one last story, and it's part of Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
And last week, we reported on the historic Latta Plantation Nature Preserve, which had scheduled a program on Juneteenth that was going to feature stories from the perspective of white slave owners and Confederate soldiers lamenting the end of the Confederacy. The event was canceled due to the negative response that came following the listing of the event. This week, Mecklenburg County announced that they will not be renewing their contract with the preserve when it expires next month, cutting off a significant portion of funding for the plantation. Just very sad to see, don't you think, Brian?
the word tone deaf is appropriate here, but it feels like it is an understatement.
I would agree with you. Well,
that's fucking tone deaf.
At least we were able to keep it under a tight 10 this week. Hopefully that'll continue. We'll see fewer stories. But
if I may ask,
yes.
If we were able to do this at night, because we're both celebrating our fathers this evening, if we were able to do that, do you think you would have another 6-7 minutes of racism, or is it because we're doing the show earlier? Or do you think it was just a light week?
I think it was a light week. Sunday is a slow news day typically, so I feel like we weren't going to get many more stories between now and 8 p.m.
Sunday.
All right, it's now time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, if you don't mind, can I take it first this week? Since I technically opted out of Beef of the Week last week, I'll go first. You can follow us.
So I'm fine with that.
So we're doing this show at 2. Decide to get a little lunch beforehand. So we walk down to a food truck that is supposed to be downtown in my town here from like noon to 4. The flat belly veg truck that we took you to the one time.
Yes.
So we go down there and they're not there at all. Just completely gone. I guess they're not there today. Didn't update social media, but that's not my beef, Brian. So we go to the deli there. We're like, all right, we'll go in there. We'll get a sandwich, maybe a hoagie, and we'll have that for lunch. You can't.
I love the Pennsylvania Philly accent. Can you say hoagie again?
Hoagie.
It's anyway. Almost like there's a hint of an R there.
Almost. We got to add.
Yeah.
It's the R that we drop from water. It ends up in hoagie. So, you know, my wife, she gets an Italian hoagie. Me, I see one of my favorite things on the menu. And what is that, Brian? It's a liverwurst and onion sandwich on rye bread. To which my wife said, I'm an 80-year-old man for ordering that sandwich. And yeah. Personally, Brian, I don't think sandwich shaming is cool. And that's my beef of the week.
You were sandwich shamed.
I was. With a nice little, with some spicy mustard on there. I mean, come on.
I'm going to say this to you. I have never had liverwurst.
What?
It's possible. It's possible that it's very good.
I personally am a fan.
I've never had it
since I was a kid. So to be accused of being 80 years old because I like a nice liverwurst and onion on rye, it's disappointing.
Now, the reason you were fed it as a kid was that, is that the German in you, or was it an upstate New York thing?
It might have been the German, because my grandfather on my mother's side, who was very German,
Himmler,
loved liverwurst and onion sandwiches, and I think that's probably where I got it from as a kid. Okay. But regardless, why shame me for it?
Is it possible she was just being playful? Like, one of the things I like about your relationship with her, with your wife, is that there is this little playful back and forth where you kind of give her a little ribbing and she gives you a little ribbing, and then you give her a little ribbing and then she gives you a little ribbing, and then you guys are making love right before my very eyes.
I think it was mean-spirited, is I think where.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable.
She seemed personally offended in my choice of lunch meats today.
But did she kiss you afterwards? Because if somebody were ordering a liver and a liver wurst and onion sandwich with spicy mustard, I think I would make that person brush their teeth, Listerine, and then do like a bleach wash before I would be willing to stick my tongue in there.
Seems intense. But not yet. Brian, okay. What's your beef this week?
Oh, I actually have a legitimate beef.
Okay,
this is, and not that yours isn't, but I didn't want it to just come across that way. I mean, like, sometimes my beefs are a little, you know, contrived and reaching and whatnot. But my beef this week is the current state of mask requirements, regulations, whatnot. that I'm encountering in my day-to-day life. Earlier this week, New York State hit a milestone, which was 70% of the eligible New York State residents are now fully vaccinated.
Way to go, Nick.
And our Fuhrer, Mario Cuomo, announced that when we hit that 70% mark, that mask regulations and social distancing requirements within New York State would be withdrawn. So basically, New York State is saying, we are, you know, the CDC has their guidelines. We went above and beyond that during this pandemic. We are no longer doing that. We now defer to CDC guidelines. CDC guidelines are such that if you are fully vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask. You do not need to social distance unless you are on some form of public transportation, subways, Ubers, taxis, whatnot. You are in a medical setting, doctor's office, hospital, whatnot, or you are in a high school or under school environment. That is what the CDC says. If you are unvaccinated, the CDC says that we ask that you wear a mask and that you social distance. What I have seen over the past week throughout New York City is people still wearing masks indoors, and the number of masks being worn are still in a, I would say, 95 plus percentage, such that I walked into a restaurant yesterday and there were people standing at the maitre d' table wearing masks. The maitre d' wasn't wearing a mask.
Right.
I did not wear one walking in, but it was, I was cognizant of, should I put it on when walking in? Previously, the rule was that you had to wear a mask unless you were sitting at your table eating. If you stood up to go to the bathroom or to leave or upon entry, you were supposed to be wearing a mask. But it was just bizarre. I live in an apartment building. My apartment building has had signs since the beginning of the pandemic saying, please, everybody wear your masks indoors as by order of the New York State governor. Now that it's not there anymore, I'm not wearing a mask inside my apartment building, but I see all my neighbors also. I don't want to be the asshole. I'm not trying to be an asshole here. I'm fully vaccinated. I don't feel that I need to wear a mask. I don't believe I need to go above and beyond what my government is telling me to do. Right. My government was, I'm a sheep. If that's, I'm okay with that. When the government was telling me wear a mask, I wore a mask. Now the government's telling me I don't have to wear a mask. I don't feel I need to wear a mask. Yet I get into an elevator and everybody's wearing a mask and I'm the asshole. That's my issue right now, is that there does not seem to be a clear acceptance in society of when you're wearing a mask, when not.
Right. And again, I think there's still a lot of mixed signals because, you know, private businesses are, you know, are doing it to differing levels. So like I was in Albany on Monday, and, you know, depending on where I went to, you know, I was in a hotel where the employees were wearing masks, but it was optional for the guests if you were vaccinated. I went, you know, over to Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee. They were asking for everybody to have a mask, vaccinated or not. And then we went out to, you know, we would go to one restaurant and again, it was optional. We went to another restaurant. They asked everybody to have it. Then I was in Long Beach Island, New Jersey on Thursday, and nobody had masks, guests or employees. I think, you know, until we get to a point where it's consistent, because even though a state may be changing regulations, you know, brands and national companies, I think, are kind of keeping a policy in place based on what's the worst state that they're based in, what's going on there right now.
Which is fine, but it feels like there's no communication in terms of updating. Hey, as of today, this is what we want you to do. We understand that the situation has changed. What I'm seeing in many cases is that there is no communication. There are no new signs that say, hey, now that things have changed, you don't need to do this. Or, hey, now that things have changed, we're still requiring you to do it because we want to take that extra step to be as safe as possible for our client base, our employees, dot, dot, dot. It just feels like the situation changed and nobody did anything about it.
Yeah, the messaging could be better. We're still seeing violence due to this. There was in DeKalb County, Georgia, a man, Victor Lee Tucker Jr., got into a dispute with a cashier at a local supermarket, Laquita Willis, and shot and killed her because of it.
It's fucking insane.
Seems a bit much.
Absolutely insane. How do you fucking pull out a gun and shoot when somebody's asking? It's...
And then he ends up shooting a off-duty police officer that was working security at the store as well. So the suspect ended up getting shot. He is in stable condition in the hospital waiting to be released so that he can be booked and put into jail, obviously.
It's fucking, that is just terrible. You know what? This pandemic has really shown me that we are, we're just terrible people to each other. And not everyone, there are good people, but as a whole, I feel like this has exposed just the genuine selfish nature of Americans. Like as a whole, the number of instances of just bad behavior, it's, you know, we're not these great people that we like to say we are. We have potential for it. We were once. I believe there are a lot of great people in this country, but as a whole, the fact that we've got an environment where somebody's getting shot for asking somebody to wear a mask and there's no outrage because we're so numb to gun violence. We're so numb to anti-maskers reacting poorly. You've got fucking Rick Schroeder going to Costco to just literally harass some poor guy who's just trying to do his job. It's fucking depressing.
You know, I traveled around to a lot of different hotels this week. And
I know. You went to Albany. You went to Long Beach Island.
Point being is listening to the stories of individuals that have been working, you know, the front desks and the restaurants over the last year. And the way that the public has treated them is... Yeah. You know, the one that stuck with me is, you know, this one guy who was telling me about how, you know, he wasn't able to let a woman check into the hotel because she didn't have a method of payment. She didn't have cash, she didn't have a credit card. So you have to pay to check into a hotel.
Yeah.
And so she got upset over this.
But that's been the case the whole time. That's not a pandemic policy.
Understood. Understood. She walks out of the hotel, walks back in, has a full bottle of Mountain Dew, and just wings it into his chest as hard as she can and says, fuck, yeah, you call the police. I'll wait here.
I hope he called the police.
Oh, yeah. No, he did. That's been like the common theme. Like they've all gotten to know their local police.
It's this pandemic, and I feel like it's gotten worse.
Oh, yeah.
The awful behavior. Like I earlier this week, there was a woman at was it McDonald's?
Oh, yeah, the fight where she couldn't get her different slushy flavors mixed up the way that she wanted to.
So this woman goes forces her way behind the counter, starts fighting with the employees. And we know, because it's been firmly established that the employees in these fast food stores are told not to engage angry customers, that if you do engage them, you're going to lose your job. I mean, there have been stories about, you know, 7-Eleven workers who, you know, stand up to people trying to rob the store and lose their job because they're breaking store policy. But it was refreshing to watch this woman get her shit pummeled by the employee who, for sitting there being like, don't come back here and hit me. I will defend myself.
The first couple of employees didn't, you know, they took her punches and didn't do anything. The third employee, when this woman laid hands on her, was like, it's go time. You picked the wrong employee today, bitch, and took her down and delivered quite the beating. Impressive.
And what was nice was that the cop arrested the customer.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, no, that's very sad. It's just a sad state of what we become. I mean, just to shoot somebody for asking you to put them out, it's insane. Yeah.
Everyone, we need to raise the love up. Because it's very close to being summer. Not only that, It's Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
All right, guys. Let's pick up the mood a little bit. Let me ask you something.
What
are you watching?
Ooh. I saw something last night that was probably one of the best things I've seen in a long time.
Talk about it.
I went to Radio City Music Hall for the reopening, the first time it's been open since March of 2020. Fully vaccinated crowd. Everybody that entered needed to show their vaccination card or their vaccination status that showed they were fully vaccinated. I watched it was almost 2 hour long documentary. Dave Chappelle, there's a name to it, but that was included recently. Previously, it had been referred to as Untitled. I believe it's like This Time, This Place, something along those lines. It is about Dave Chappelle setting up and putting on outdoor comedy shows during the beginning phases of this pandemic. And it's he had a documentary crew filming him. They were two local filmmakers from his town in Yellow Springs, Ohio. It shows comedians coming to travel. It shows it kind of shows that arc as the pandemic is starting to is really starting to get bad. It kind of starts with the 2 week we have to flatten the curve, and then suddenly you see the numbers starting to pop off and whatnot. It shows the West Coast and East Coast comedians coming to the small town in Ohio and interacting with the locals. It shows what these shows meant to the people that were living in this town. Society was literally frozen. People were locked in their homes and whatnot, and he figured out a way to continue doing comedy shows. Highly recommend it.
Now, Billy thought that it was named Thanks for the Invite. But Brian, you were correct. It's called This Time, This Place.
There we go. I saw that. I also saw a show. We were fortunate enough as part of the Tribeca Film Festival, press, we were able to see a virtual screening of AMC Plus, I believe. Kevin has to fucking die. What is the name of it again?
Kevin can fuck himself.
Kevin can go fuck himself. I watched it. I recommend you do because I would like to know your opinion of it.
Okay.
It is starring
Link.
Beg your pardon?
Matt has that link.
Yeah, Matt has that link. So Matt should be able to forward it to you because that way you can watch it. But it stars the daughter from, you see, this is why I should, do my little research.
The daughter from Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
Thank you.
How did you know that?
I've read up on the show. I did not get a chance to view it.
Well, then maybe you can explain to me what the hell is going on in this show? Because it was, it's Anne Murphy at her best. I do know her name. Thank you very much. But it was, it's half of it is she's in this like sitcom world where she's like the attractive wife dealing with this Boston, slightly overweight buffoon husband and his family and his goofy friends. So it's like it's kind of got that lampoonish sitcom, but then it intercuts in mid scene to this dark drama where you kind of feel like what's really going on in her head. So it's the juxtaposition of the two worlds, and I don't understand what's supposed to be going on in it.
All right. I will check it out. I will let you know. I did watch. I didn't think I watched anything this week, but I do remember watching a couple of things. First on HBO Max. I started to watch In the Heights, the movie adaptation of the Lin-Manuel Miranda musical. Mm-hmm. First off, it's 2 hours, 22 minutes, which seems excessive. Again, it is a Broadway show. And someone had said to me before I watched it, they had watched it, and they said, it's basically all the songs sound like the music from Hamilton, with the exception of the theme is like Washington Heights and the Dominican Republic and not Alexander Hamilton. And so I got through 20, 25 minutes of it. And yes, that would be a spot on. But I think the difference is while Hamilton was very unique and I think different, like this was your very traditional Broadway story about, you know, people down and out trying to achieve their dreams, yada, 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 yada. Again, I wasn't feeling like sitting through another 2 hours of that.
Was it done like rap style like Hamilton was? Or singing rap, or was it more just...
Some of the songs were at parts, but if you saw, again, it could have gotten completely different in the last 2 hours. But for the first 20, 25 minutes, I could see the parallels between the two. And
Ron,
I sit through Hamilton again.
You watched 20 minutes more than I ever will. So feel free to just act as if you watched the entire thing and tell me what it is.
And then on Apple TV, I watched Lisey's Story, episode 1. This is an adaptation of the Stephen King novel. It's got Julianne Moore is in it, Jennifer Jason Leigh, a few other people that I recognize but don't remember their names. Again, you know, I read the book and I know the story. And they managed to give a very confusing and slow first episode. So if you were not a Stephen King fan and you were not familiar with the book, you probably hated episode 1 because I barely tolerated it. I may or may not check out episode 2 to see if it gets any better.
And this is called Lisey's Story?
Lisey's Story on Apple TV.
How does Julianne Moore look in it?
Very nice.
I've had a thing for her since I can literally remember.
Then I think you might want to check out an episode of this just for that.
Okay. All right.
Anything else you're watching, Brian?
Yes. Well, I'd like to follow up with something we spoke about last episode,
okay,
which was Marvel's Loki.
Yes.
On what is that on
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Yes.
Yes, Queen. So last week we spoke about it, and I committed to watching Loki. And to keeping up with it so that we could discuss it. It's coming out one episode per week, just like The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. except unlike The Mandalorian, I have zero interest in watching this. But I'm going to because I feel like I'm missing out on something.
Okay.
We all know that every now and then I do have a level of FOMO that kicks in. So I am watching Loki. And I was hoping you watched the first episode, correct?
I did, yes.
The second episode came out this past Friday. I know you were very busy, traveling to Albany on business, traveling to Long Beach City in New Jersey, going to restaurants, going to Dunkin' Donuts, talking to employees who were working diligently throughout this pandemic while you stayed at home collecting your unemployment checks. Like we know this.
You get that.
But I watched both episodes of Loki, and I do not understand almost the entire story.
Okay. I have not had a chance to watch the second episode yet. What are your questions from episode 1 that I might be able to answer for you?
Who's Loki?
Okay.
Why is he considered this, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's almost like he's kind of a bad guy, but like they make him like this little... they make him likable.
Okay.
I don't understand Owen Wilson. Is this timeline, the variant timeline thing, is this consistent within the Marvel world, or did they just pull this story out of their ass? And then I think we can go from there.
Okay. Loki, God of Mischief.
There we go. God of Mischief. Why is he the God of Mischief?
He is Thor's brother. Thor, as you know, is a god as well. But yes, they are brothers. And this is where it gets a little confusing. So did you see the original Avengers?
Maybe.
That was like the original, like when they all teamed up and battled the aliens. They battled Loki. Loki was the bad guy in the Avengers.
Is that the one where they're blowing up New York?
Yes, that's the Battle of New York.
I did see that. Did see that one. Yes. So
Loki was...
I didn't know he was Thor's brother.
So Loki's the bad guy in that movie. And so you see this arc with Loki over, you know, from Avengers to, one of the Thor sequels to, you know, Infinity War and whatnot, where he becomes a good guy basically after, you know, and throughout this character arc. But did you watch Endgame?
No.
Okay. So
maybe I did. I don't. Is that the one where Thanos? Is that the first Thanos, or weren't there two Thanos movies?
Second Thanos.
I did not see the second. I saw the first and walked away with a lot of questions.
All right. So, well, then part of your confusion comes from missing Endgame, because there is a portion of the film where the Avengers go back in time. They go back to the Battle of New York City in time, and where Loki was initially captured and taken away at the end of the Avengers, in this new, when they go back in time, Loki manages to escape at that point. So
did you say escape? I thought I heard an X in escape.
You did not. So Loki escapes.
Okay. Escapes. Yes.
In the Endgame movie. And so the TV show Loki picks up where from that point in Endgame, where he escapes after the Battle of New York. So by escaping, he is broken off of his timeline, and he is now a criminal, which is why he's being tracked down by Owen Wilson and his group.
Why did the Avengers go back in time if they had already arrested him?
They had gone back in time because in order to bring back the half of the population of the universe that Thanos killed in Infinity War, they needed all of the Infinity Stones, which Thanos had destroyed. So they then needed to go back in time to get all of the Infinity Stones again. And
that makes sense.
The Battle of New York, because that was where one of the stones was.
Okay, that makes sense. So now Loki starts. Now, can you explain the time variant association or the Tennessee Valley? Yes.
So they are the ones that are supposed to keep the timelines going the way that they should. Like in basically everyone's path is predestined in life. Like your timeline is already set. And so if you manage to get off of your timeline, like Loki did, by changing his past, then they come after you and they set things right. And they kind of went into this I think it was in Endgame also, where they talk about how in going back in time, like the danger is you can create like these splinters in the timelines and it can really, you know, wreak havoc with the universe and whatnot.
But so this timeline organization, this organization that is in charge with ensuring that people follow their timeline, this is a new concept in the Loki story.
In the Loki story and in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it is new, but it's basically something that's been fleshed out in the comics before. So, you know, Owen Wilson's character, the Time Variance Authority, the Timekeepers, all of that has already, you know, been in Marvel comics in the past. So it's not new concepts for the comic world, but it is a new concept in the cinematic world.
Perfect. Okay. Got it. You know what my problem is with this, with the Marvel stuff, is it's very tongue in cheek.
Yes.
Like they're not comfortable being dramatic. They're not comfortable being serious. Whenever they start to go down a path where you feel like there's actual consequences, like there's some seriousness, like suddenly like they do something that is just kind of humorous. They lighten the mode or whatnot. And I'm not a fan of that.
Okay.
It's just a little weird to me. But you know me, I'm not a big fan of tongue in cheek.
Depends on whose tongue, whose cheek.
Speaking of tongues.
Yes.
Now we talked about Marvel. Let's move on.
We have
to. I was waiting for you to pick up my cue on tongue in cheek.
Oh, this, I figured this was all your introduction.
Oh, I'm introducing it. Okay. So as much as the world is paying attention to the Marvel universe, because let's be honest, it's where the world's attention has gone. At the same time, DC Comics, Marvel's main rival, is that
let's go with that.
They've figured out a way. How do they stay in the public's attention? And they came, there was a an issue earlier this week that really captured the comic book world's imagination. Mm-hmm. When Justin Halpern, who did the Harley Quinn movie that I did not watch, said that there was a scene where Batman was performing oral sex on Catwoman during one of the DC movies.
If I can just correct you real quick, not the Harley Quinn movie, the R-rated Harley Quinn animated series.
For the purpose of me talking, can we just accept that those are the exact same thing?
I certainly can.
Thank you. So the point being is that there's a scene where Batman's going down on Catwoman, and DC nixed the scene saying that superheroes do not perform oral sex on each other and cut out the scene. And it set the comic world on fire.
And Twitter, for that matter. There was now, a lot of discussion. Not only does Batman do oral, but which of the individual Batmans would do oral?
Okay, Val Kilmer's would not do oral.
Okay.
Michael
Keaton?
I was going to say McKeon, but I think that's the guy from Spinal Tap. Michael Keaton would definitely do it.
Okay.
Christian Bale would not.
Okay.
George Clooney's would.
Okay.
Who am I missing? Oh, Ben Affleck would.
Robert Pattinson.
Only because what?
Oh, sorry. Ben Affleck would because?
Because his drinking problem would end up with a flaccid penis. So to make up for his lack of actual penetration, he would use fingers and mouth.
Right. Robert Pattinson?
Would not, because he finds vaginas disgusting, would not actually penetrate. He would be looking for Robin.
And the original Batman, Adam West.
This is back in the 1970s. Would absolutely perform oral sex while the Joker had sex with him.
This is interesting because everyone agreed. I mean, everyone was split amongst all the actors that you named, with the exception of Adam West. Everyone was 100% convinced that Adam West would go down on a woman. And it also led to...
They said he would not?
Would. Everyone said he would.
Oh, I said he would too.
Yeah, exactly. But also, a lot of these stories started kicking around about apparently how Adam West, Burt Ward, and the guy who played the Riddler, Frank Gorshin, were like always going to these Hollywood orgies. Like, they were like, basically, someone was like, if you look back in like the late 60s, you know, who was getting the most pussy in the Hollywoods in the late 60s? Adam West.
Really?
Apparently.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
But yeah, it really, so apparently this is on HBO Max, this, Harley Quinn, show. So maybe we need to check that out, and do a, what are you watching on that as well?
Should I leave myself a reminder?
Maybe set yourself a reminder.
Okay. So what am I watching?
Oh, I'm sorry. Its first two seasons were on the DC Universe streaming series and then is moving to HBO Max for season three. So it is not available yet on HBO Max, but it will be.
And I don't have access to DC streaming, I'm assuming?
I don't believe so. I know I do not have a login for that.
Okay. I'm noticing what a great neckline this shirt has.
No, you that's how high up it is. Tucked in, it's very nice. Justice League director Zack Snyder, of course, releasing the Snyder Cut on HBO Max. He weighed in and said that it is canon that Batman would perform oral sex on Catwoman.
Okay. I made it through 15 minutes of that movie.
I have not even attempted to watch it because I know I'm going to need to break it up into a couple of viewings.
I couldn't do it.
I know that I have it in me at this point.
Couldn't do it. Just wasn't there for me.
Let's see what else is going on. Vaccines, Brian. We still have new vaccines rolling out each and every day. And now Novavax is offering the United States another strong COVID-19 vaccine, has an efficacy rate of about 90%. But the funny thing is, the U.S. doesn't really need it at this point, apparently.
We have
so much vaccine on hand by Pfizer and Moderna that no one really is buying it at this point. So they're a little late to the game.
This becomes the fifth acknowledged. Well, that's not true, because isn't there a Chinese and a Russian?
There are Chinese and Russian vaccines. There are some questions as to how effective and safe the Russian vaccine is. The Chinese vaccine is supposedly up there. Not quite at a Moderna rank, but kind of clocking in around, between a Pfizer and a Johnson & Johnson.
Well, we would have suspected that the Chinese would be putting out a very strong vaccine simply because it was created in their labs.
You would think the fact that they had the original virus, yes, would have. But
who knows? In its purest form. So, yeah. Ron, if you could indulge me for a moment, I would like to hear your rankings of the 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 7 different types of vaccines.
Okay. I mean, we're going to put Moderna as number one, obviously.
Of course, the gold standard.
I'm going to put the Chinese vaccine at number two, like as you said. They are making it from the source material. For number three, I'm going to go with Novavax because it is a slightly higher efficacy rate than Pfizer. Also showed 100% effectiveness against preventing moderate or severe disease. Number four, we'll put Pfizer in there. Let's see at five, AstraZeneca. Despite the blood clots. Number six, I'm going with the Russian vaccine. And then in last place, I have to go Johnson & Johnson.
I don't blame you there. I do not blame you there. I don't know how somebody can get Johnson & Johnson, walk around and say that they're fully vaccinated.
No.
I just don't. I don't. I will not judge you for the shoes that you wear on your feet. I will not judge you for your bank account. I will judge you on the type of vaccine you got. Now, here's another one. There's another one that I find odd.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend recently.
Okay.
And we were talking about another group of people, or maybe it was their friend, but within the group of friends, people were unaware of each other's vaccination status.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I asked the question, like, how do you not know? Like, how do you not ask? Like during this, this year or whatnot, I am obsessed with asking people about their vaccines. I'm obsessed with asking people about what side effects they got, whether, was the first shot, second shot, and whatnot. I don't understand knowing someone, having a relationship with this person and it not being part of the conversation. And right. Not in the sense of like, oh, should I be socially distant from you? Should you be wearing them? But literally just conversation like, how do you like your eggs, for your Sunday breakfast? In the exact same way, what vaccine did you get? I don't understand.
I mean, I was around a lot of people for work this week. And I think,
Was that when you were in Albany and Long Branch City? Jesus, Ron, we get it. You actually did some business travel. We believe you. You don't have to keep mentioning it.
But what's interesting is we will take masks off around each other and not ask like, oh, you're vaccinated first, right? Like, I think for groups of people right now, I think if you're not wearing your mask, people are just going with the assumption that you've had the vaccine.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, let me rephrase it. As somebody who, and it's my personal medical history. I do not want to divulge anything that is considered HIPAA compliant. We all know I got the Moderna vaccine, the gold standard.
Yes.
But I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Speaking of vaccines and shows returning, so Friday night, Bruce Springsteen returns, bringing his Broadway show back to the St.
That show.
Theater.
Fuck that show. That was my beef last week. Fuck that show. $800, $850 for a ticket. No.
Anyway, but what is interesting is they will be asking people for their vaccination records. And if you have received the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has not yet been authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, you will not be allowed access to the show. Only if you have received Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, or Pfizer at least 14 days prior to the show. Brian, thoughts on this?
I'm absolutely okay with it. This is, I mean, let me rephrase it. I understand the logic behind it, and I'm all right with it. The logic is that the AstraZeneca is not approved within America.
Okay.
This is a performance that's taking place inside of America. So they are not classifying somebody who has AstraZeneca as being fully vaccinated. That is not meeting their standards of being fully vaccinated as getting a vaccine that is not considered FDA, that does not meet the FDA standards. I get that.
Okay.
At the same time, they're allowing people with Johnson & Johnson in.
Right.
Now I have a problem.
Now they're also, what's interesting to me is they're also allowing people in that had a negative nose swab test within 72 hours prior. So how is, if you've had 3 days, you know, again, you're going to say, all right, if you had a nose swab 3 days ago, you can come in. But if you've actually taken the step, and maybe in the country that they're from, all that was available to them was AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
You're now going to say, well, you're not allowed to come in there.
I mean, we know that America has hoarded the Moderna vaccine. We know that it has hundreds of millions of doses that it's keeping in freezers because it is the gold standard.
Right. Well, we'll see. We will see. But what
is interesting about that is the fact that it is going to tamp down on tourism.
No, without a doubt.
If Broadway is looking to reopen in September, they are going to need the tourist dollar. And if that's going to be the policy across Broadway, that's going to be a tough call.
We'll have to see how it plays out, especially since when you look at it, a lot of Canadians are receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. So if they're going to come to, and New York is a spot where they get a lot of influx of Canadian tourists. If they're not able to do things in New York City, how is that going to impact the rebound of Manhattan?
Fuck the Canadians, because this past week, they decided to extend their restrictions in not allowing Americans into Canada, despite the success that we've had nationwide with our vaccinations, despite our low caseloads, our low positivity rates. Canada still does not want us in their country. Therefore, Canadians should stay where they are.
All right. Shall we do a quick run through of our celebrity obituaries for the week?
Yeah, there were some mildly famous people that passed away.
All right. Starting off with John Gabriel. He was on Ryan's Hope, nominated for Emmys from time to time for his role as Dr. Seneca Bulak. Passing away at the age of 90. No cause of death revealed at this time.
I'm going to guess liver damage.
Probably. This was kind of sad. Actress Linda Baines, I believe she was on in the movie Gone Girl, passing away from injuries sustained after getting hit by a hit-and-run scooter driver on the Upper West Side of New York. Passing away at the age of 65. Kind of a sad story. She's an LA resident. She was visiting New York for the first time since the pandemic began, was on her way to meet her wife for a dinner party when she was mowed down by a red and black scooter at West 64th and Amsterdam Avenue.
I was just there.
Were you driving a scooter?
No, I don't go to the Upper West Side.
And so she suffered a traumatic brain injury from that scooter hit and was unable to recover.
I also feel like she was had a bit role in Gone Girl. Like, yes, she was in the movie. She played the wife's mother. She was in a couple scenes, but I wouldn't necessarily say I'm giving her a D minus.
Okay. That's fine. This one was a tough one. I grew up growing up with this actor, Frank Bonner, playing sleazy salesperson Herb Tarlick on the sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati, passing away on Wednesday at the age of 79 after a battle with Lewy body dementia. Classic role back in the 70s and 80s. Didn't age well, that show, and his role in it. I believe he would probably be arrested for sexual harassment at this point. Was also in Saved by the Bell, The New Class, and also went into directing, directed shows such as Who's the Boss, Head of the Class, and Newhart.
Good for him. I had no idea. He came. The character came across like the kind of guy that was taking dating advice from Bill Cosby.
Very much so. Very much so. I think, but most of the show is still alive, I believe. I think, Gordon Jump, I think, passed away. But everyone else, I think, is still around from that show.
You know how they just did a Friends reunion?
Yes.
Which was bizarrely successful. They should do that for other shows. I would like to see what the cast of WKRP in Cincinnati looks like. What was the main guy, the attractive guy with the blondish brownish hair?
Gary Sandy.
Sure.
Because you're not talking about Howard Hessman, who played Fever, and then you had Flytrap. But Gary Sandy played the program director. I forget what his character's name.
He was a good looking guy. I'd like to know what he looks like right now.
And then, of course, Lonnie Anderson. That was, I think, her first big star turn.
And I always had a thing for the other woman on the show.
Bailey. I forget what the actress's name was, but yes.
Yes.
This was rough. I hated seeing this. Former Pee-wee's Playhouse star, John Paragon, dead at the age of 66. Apparently passed away back in April. But the news was just released recently, playing the character of the genie Jambi on Pee-wee's Playhouse. Mekaleka hi, Mekahiney ho, Brian.
I never really understood Pee-wee's Playhouse.
No?
Like I feel like it wasn't for me. For me! But it just, I just didn't get it. Like it was just too weird for me. And it was just kind of over my head. Or it went under my head. I couldn't tell you.
Could have been. So in addition to voicing, in addition to being Jambi, he also voiced Terry the Pterodactyl. He wrote the Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special, which won an Emmy nomination for Best Writing in a Children's Special. Also co-writer of the Elvira Mistress of the Dark movie.
Really?
Yes. And he was
interesting. I didn't know that.
He was in Weird Al Yankovic's UHF and also the cult cannibalism classic Eating Raoul. So quite the diverse career he had.
There you go. Maybe it seems he had a much more of a career than I was giving him credit for.
There you go. And then this very, very sad to see first dog Champ Biden dead at the age of 13. Which, to be fair, for German Shepherd, it is up there. But very sad. The Biden family had him since he was a puppy. President Biden, Jill Biden, the Biden children, all tweeting how much they're going to miss Champ. Always horrible when you lose a pet.
Of course.
Nothing to say. Are you going to grade a dog's death, Brian? Is that where you're at today? Or are you gonna leave that alone?
No. If this were a nighttime recording, I would probably would give Champ a C+. Because let's be brutally honest, everybody wants the shelter dog that he just got. Nobody cares about his old dog. We all want the new dog, right? Or is this is
what?
Wait a second. The dog he just got from the shelter, is that one that just died?
No, they had Champ for like 11 years, I think. The dog that they just got was the one that they had to keep taking out of the White House because he kept biting people.
Now, is that because Champ was dying that they decided to go out and get a new dog?
I don't think so. No, I would hope not.
Okay.
And then one last horrible story this week out in Utah. Shoreline Junior High School has gone viral because of their 2020-2021 yearbook, where a Utah cheerleader with Down syndrome was excluded from the team's yearbook photo, an omission that many relatives believe may have been because of her disability. They put both pictures on the New York Post article. Very obvious that the girl is missing from the one that was in the yearbook, but just very, very sad to see.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. Absolutely terrible. Especially, and if you read the article, it says how everybody on the team considered this girl a member of the team.
Right.
You know, like she wasn't doing any of the jumps or moves or spins and whatnot, but just the idea that the yearbook people would decide to Photoshop her out. And she was sitting in like literally the center, front row center of the picture. I mean, if Matt Beaker had his act together, he'd be putting that up on the screen, but it's okay. No. We'll cut Beaker some slack this week. It's amazing how, you know, you've got an opportunity to do some good or some harm. And in an instance like this, there's people who are like, no, let's Photoshop this girl out of the photo.
Right. What's also amazing to me is that there are people that are probably like, you know, we can probably do this and no one's going to notice. Like they probably were like, yeah, we'll just do this and it won't, you know, cause an issue. Kind of like you said earlier today, there's a lot of horrible people out there, and that's the one thing.
Yeah. What is on your horizon for this coming week?
Well, I think most importantly is
business travel. Are you doing some business travel? Will you be visiting any towns?
But most importantly, tomorrow night at 9:30 will be Ron and Brian After Dark. There were some scheduling conflicts for this evening, which is why we're doing the main podcast right now. So the After Dark, which is exclusive live content for our Patreon subscribers, will be tomorrow night at 9:30, Monday night, June 21st. So for you Patreon folks, make a note on your calendar for that. If you are not part of the Patreon, obviously you have plenty of time to sign up by going to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, click on Become a Patron, join at the bronze level or higher. In addition to some swag and other great stuff, you get access to this After Dark, which, like we said, tomorrow, Monday, 9:30. Email will be going out shortly with a link to our Patreon subscribers. Brian, would you like to talk a little bit about where you'll be tonight?
Oh, I'm going to go see the Foo Fighters at Madison Square Garden.
Very nice.
It will be a fully vaccinated crowd, full capacity. The Garden is back. Rock and roll is back. Concerts are back. The pandemic is over. People, it's time for us to stop looking backwards. It's time for us to start looking forwards. It's time for us to acknowledge and embrace how fortunate we are that the vaccines are working out as well as they actually are. The idea that there are multiple variants that have come out. If you remember the first couple that were, there was the Indian one. There was a one from Brazil. Everybody was in a panic because they thought the vaccines wouldn't work against these variants. They work fine. There's absolutely no evidence so far that has been published that these vaccines do not work just as effectively against the variants as they do against the original strains. Time for us to get out of this oppressive pandemic that we have been living through. And this is, it's time to start feeling some optimism here. I'll be rocking out with my cock out tonight at the Garden.
I mean, when you look at it, just a really great show to open up Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
What else? Even more reason to join the Patreon for the After Dark. Don't forget, next Sunday night is the Pajama Party edition, where we have all of our subscribers join us on the show. We are going to have our resident breast expert on, Elisa. She is going to be looking at photos, telling us between real and fake breasts. So you don't want to miss this After Dark. I believe we also have the note we need to talk about Billy and his teacher. That
I've got a note, yes.
Girls in the class kiss him after right answers or wrong answers. I forget, but regardless, it's a story that we're definitely going to want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else this week, Brian, or are we ready to wrap up this special Father's Day edition of the Ron and Brian Show?
I think this was great. I want to thank you for your accommodations in terms of making yourself available during this time. I was very happy to see that our core fans were able to join us, as well as some other people out there. Just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody celebrating. For those that your father is no longer with you, you can still celebrate them. You don't need to look them in the eye and say thanks for being a great father. And those people who did not have good fathers, I'm sorry to hear that. Spend the day mentally demonizing them. It's a great way to spend the day. Hey. Ron?
Yes.
Any exiting thoughts?
Again, happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Enjoy this beautiful day. Brian, enjoy the concert this evening. Everybody, stay safe out there. And we look forward to seeing you again next week at our regular time, 8 p.m. on all of our major networks. Brian, love you, my friend.
Love you right back, Ronald.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
For joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.